Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Friday, June 5th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well today. Hope you're enjoying the summer month so far and also enjoying the baseball coaching search. Really good episode of Inside the Gamecocks yesterday. Mike Morgan, Matt Anderson, the Mad Dog, myself, and Jamie Bradford jumped in. He's been working this coaching search pretty hard. There is an update this morning. South Carolina met with Kevin Schnall from Coastal Carolina last night, per Jamie Bradford. It was not in Columbia, out of town. I don't have any details right now as to how that meeting went, but it was the first face-to-face meeting that Schnall and the Gamecocks have had. And Jamie's got an article up on the Big Spur with more details, more candidates, things like that. Go to thebigspur.com, join for a dollar. But that's the gist of it. So we wait today. I still feel like if it's, we all feel like, not just me, that if something's going to happen with Schnall, it's going to be pretty soon. You know, he's. It's one of those things where there's time concerns, quite frankly. I mean, to get the right guy, you'll wait, no doubt. It's dumb to rush things in coaching searches based on a timeline. But if you have a guy and you feel good about that guy, and that's one of your top guys, then or your top guy, and he's available, then time is of the essence. Right, because we have a transfer portal that is open. You have a lot of players from the current roster in it. You have a roster to build. It's one of those things in college athletics. There's a lot of work to be done. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But stay tuned to ITG later today from 10 to 1. Monty Lee is going to be in with Jamie to break down the super regional round. It's been quite an NCAA baseball tournament so far. A lot of upsets. I don't know that Cinderella is dead in baseball. I think in basketball, the last 2 years we've seen it, but I don't know that Cinderella in football or baseball is dead, you know? So we'll see how everything transpires with that this weekend. Phil and I will be along. Matt Anderson is in as normal on Friday. It's a 3-hour tour for the summer on Inside the Gamecocks. Please, if you're on YouTube, go subscribe to the podcast versions of all of this on Apple or Spotify. If you're on Apple or Spotify, go to YouTube Inside the Gamecocks and check all that out. You can get coffee there. You can get video content in connection with thebigspur.com and all that happy jazz. Football recruiting weekend this weekend. Now, you know, there's a lot of committed guys coming in. And when the committed guys come in, it's normally not a festive weekend, you know, because I've always said that in recruiting, when a player commits, everything kind of terminates and you kind of forget about that player, which is human nature because you're always kind of looking for the next battle, just kind of like you're looking for the next game in the actual sport. We all kind of mope or celebrate Monday, Tuesday, maybe bleeds into Wednesday during the season, and then by Wednesday, we're ready to roll. Yet again, win, lose, or draw. That's not unique to the Gamecock fan base. It's everybody. But in recruiting, it's kind of the same way. You kind of get to the point where there's a decision. You either get him or you don't. It's about 24 hours, and then you're on to the next one. You know, Jazavian Currents was a guy in the last class that committed super early. People just sort of forgot about him, you know. And then, boom, here he is. He's an impact guy. But it doesn't matter. There's nothing that says that the guy that commits on Valentine's Day, like Jadeveon Clowney did, obviously he made an impact, is going to always make a bigger impact than the guy that commits early in your class. Now, I will say this, statistically, a lot of the times the earlier commits are not the superstar guys. You know, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. I can think of a few, like one. So Clowney was the extreme on the other end because he waited till his birthday, which was Valentine's Day, which was 2 weeks after signing day, which was great for Carolina because they kind of had a captive audience. Kind of like the Nick Harbor commit on the traditional signing day in 23. You know, the story of that day in college football was South Carolina football. And so that was great, you know. And there weren't really a whole lot of nervous moments. The school that kind of made everybody nervous then was Clemson. Clemson got in, and he had a really good visit, and they were at the end, and Dabo was kind of hinting about waiting on him and stuff. But they, I think they made a little noise. They made him think a little bit, but he ended up at Carolina. There was a lot of confidence that would happen. Sidney Rice, though, committed out of Gaffney way, way early. Like it was, gosh, right before his senior, during his junior year, to Lou Holtz and his staff. And then I think he was class of 04. Right. He was class of 04. And he, like, had Clemson offered him during that time period? This was after the 63-17 debacle. For those that want to remember that, a lot of chaos. Carolina, new coaches. I think Todd Fitch got fired. He was the receivers coach, and they brought in Charlie Williams, I believe, there at the end. Maybe it was Charlie Williams, or was it Joker? Maybe, I don't know. It was the 6 year. John Strickland would know. He was on the 04 team. But Sidney went back and forth and ended up, you know, Sidney was a good basketball player. Syracuse got involved. Clemson didn't offer him. Syracuse got involved, and he thought about going to Syracuse, but ended up with the Gamecocks at the end. And then you saw he was one of the best receivers ever. So there's two extremes of that. But the commits, when they visit, long story short, it's not as entertaining, interesting, all that good stuff. Although, you know, I am curious to see if somebody busts out a tomahawk ribeye for some of the offensive linemen that are visiting this weekend. But they're about a few I want to focus on today as we preview that. And one's Nate Komba. You know, South Carolina has lost some edge targets. Other edge targets like KJ Green have had fantastic visits to places like Oregon. You know, Frederick Ards, of course, went to A&M. The Jaden Bryant situation was one of those crazy recruiting situations. I have not confirmed he's not going to officially visit South Carolina this weekend, but he says he's not. So, nothing on USC's end about that, but I don't think he will. Just my gut. That's my opinion. If he shows up at campus, great. Just when you thought it couldn't get any crazier, right? But Nate Komba, 6'4", 290, Corvian Community in Charlotte, North Carolina, Concord, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Auburn per Chad Simmons. So, you know, Carolina's fought some battles with Auburn and won a few the last few years. He's D-line heaven defensive tackle, like the way he moves, athletic, would be another worthy pickup and another blue chipper out of the state of North Carolina for Travian Robertson. We'll say for the purposes of getting him, does he need to have a good visit? I think so. I don't know that South Carolina necessarily leads. I don't know that all if Auburn is the leader, which one would, you know, deduce from that. I don't know that it's huge based on what I've uncovered, but I do think with this is an opportunity for him, you know, and the Gamecocks to get him. He's right up the road in Charlotte. I think that that would be, you know, a player that, you know, there's some things to be determined with his recruitment heading into the weekend. How about that? Kevin Millington is a Torian, we're starting to call him Torian Gray specials around here. He's a 6'3", 180 from North Oconee in Bogart, Georgia, which is in near Athens, Oconee County, Georgia. Really developmental type guy. A guy like Torian Gray likes good length, taller defensive back. Gamecocks got in on him a few weeks ago. Virginia Tech, Louisville, South Carolina. I think the Gamecocks have been pretty strong with him since they got in on him. He's a guy that's probably going to take a little bit of time, but I think that, you know, this is a player, obviously, that could be a possible commit at some point soon if he has a really good visit. Jackson Ross, former Gamecock basketball player, David Ross's son out of Hammond, 6'3", 215 is what he's listed as. Really good athlete, really good player. Recruitment's been kind of quiet. Texas Tech is in the mix. South Carolina is in the mix. Gamecocks feel pretty good about getting him. We'll see. Sometimes I've learned in recruiting the obvious isn't the obvious. But he's coming on his official visit this weekend. Obviously, he's a legacy, and so the Gamecocks will have him in, and we'll see kind of what happens. Mekhi Allen's a four-star player out of Don Bosco, New Jersey, or Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey. I really like big physical guy. He's visited all over the place, A&M, and it's Final Three: Texas, Texas A&M, and South Carolina. So I don't know. He's scheduled to take an official visit this weekend. Last I heard, A&M was leading. Texas has some reason to feel good. And then there's the Gamecocks. So this is getting into the recruiting weeds a little bit when it comes to cash and things like that. 6'1", 220. Carolina would obviously love to get him, but the question becomes, with him, how much does he want to go to the Lone Star State and all that? He had a really good unofficial visit down for a junior day in the spring. Javaris Warner. It's another running back, 5'10", 185 out of Troup County, Georgia. He's scheduled to take an official visit. All of this is subject to change because sometimes at the end there are some changes, some additions, some subtractions. It's 7 a.m. Eastern time on Friday, June the 5th. So arrivals will be happening soon, but I will say that if you're listening to this later, it is subject to change. Fast back, like him, kids out of Troup County historically end up pretty good. Quick feet, different type of back than Trey Sagara, Braden Tyson. I think they're looking to take two. I think Trey Sagara is the guy for the other spot out of Burns, four-star guy. He visits in 2 weeks. And so we'll see what happens there. So, not the heaviest group this weekend, but certainly a group where there's a handful, Ross, Millington, Comba. If you shoot your shot and make it with Allen, that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. The Beamer camp sessions have been going on in Columbia. Matt Anderson's been out there. A class of 2028 tight end. And I like kids like this that are from states that don't normally produce talent. From North Kingston, Rhode Island, Gregory Kerwine spent a lot of time. This is per Matt with Sean Elliott yesterday. He's a tight end, 6'5", 230. Big athletic guy starting to pick up offers. I've always said South Carolina's recruiting territory, the primary recruiting territory should be Miami to Maine. I believe that includes the state of Rhode Island. So sometimes the Gamecocks end up getting, a little bit more favorable. The exception maybe of New Jersey through the years. They've gotten a lot of players out of New Jersey through the years, but New Jersey is a little more hotly contested. But, compared to some of the other SEC schools, it's probably, and of course the Big Ten is up there now. You got to admit that, but because it is right down 95, it's kind of closer to home, and a lot of people in the Northeast and all the way over to Ohio spend time in Myrtle Beach, so they're well aware of the state of South Carolina and how to get there and all that. So it's more comfortable. But he camped yesterday. He's 2028, so that's rising junior, but certainly was impressive. Also, Luke Gaither, a quarterback for 2027, quarterback, 6'4", 185 out of Radford, Virginia, Liberty Christian, kind of an under the radar guy. Chris Clark and company reported, and Matt Anderson passed along to me that he had a very good camp. So keep an eye on him. I don't know that they'll take a second quarterback, but they may. So some of the current players are walking around camp as well, and I'll pass along a couple of tidbits that Matt gave me. He said Neff Jiwa is there. the Irish rugby international player, he's on campus working out, starting his journey of development. Matt said he looks legit, like eyeball test wise, which doesn't mean everything. He's got to be learn how to play football. But he said he's how you draw him up. He's a very impressive guy. So that's good. I still think, I don't know. I'd have to ask around and dig. This is just an opinion. He'd be very interesting. And I know because of rugby and the fact that he looks like he's got good hands, he can catch a ball in that sport. I know the, you know, a lot of people want to see what he could do as a tight end in a goal line situation or something like that. No, I lie. Heck, me too. But I think this guy, like on the, I think if you really wanted to make an impact, I think as someone that's learning the game, you could teach him to block kicks. I mean, he's physical already. I don't know that there's a lot of technique and, you know, intricate assignments and things like that you have to learn to be on the kick block team. I could see him blocking some extra points or field goals this year. I wouldn't rule it out, you know, but he said he looks good. He also saw Justin Okoronkwo, and this was interesting. He said Justin looks a little leaner than he thought. Justin's listed height and weight wise, I think around 231, 232, maybe 235. But with him specifically, he's supposed to kind of be the longer, leaner linebacker. Fred Johnson is long and thicker, but I think Justin has a lot of, you know, natural pass rushing ability. I think Clayton White, which is something we've been talking about here and on the website, that, you know, they may send the linebackers a little more this year, dial up a little more blitzes because they've got, you know, depth up front. They're supposed to be pretty good up front, that kind of thing. I could see Justin really having a pretty good year rushing the passer. And I think sometimes you look lean and mean to do it, right? Because you gotta get in there. But that was a good, interesting eyeball test observation from Matt. These guys were just walking around, so it's just the eyeball test. But any kind of football scraps you can get right now, folks. I'm sure some of you that aren't Carolina baseball fans are probably tired of the search and baseball dominating the conversation this time of year. But if you think about it, it normally does, because normally this time of year, South Carolina historically is playing in a super regional. Carolina's played more super regionals than any SEC team outside of LSU since the super regionals became a thing in 1999. So, I mean, everybody's kind of accustomed to that. It's happened far less often the last 13, 14 years, but it still happens. And so normally baseball does kind of dominate the conversation. But we also, the last few years, have football recruiting. I mean, really, we're going on about a decade of the summer recruiting thing. So it's the new January, of course. But any kind of little football team stuff, because then the conversation is going to get more heavy here and elsewhere as we march through the summer about what kind of football team the Gamecocks are going to have this fall. And I think that they've got, again, this is going to be my standard line. They got some pieces in place to, I think, have a rebound year. Now, whatever that is in your mind or in my mind, I don't, you know, it's hard to put a definition on it because it's really up to the individual to determine what a rebound looks like. You know, a lot of folks say 8 wins. You know, a lot of the fans out there, a lot of you guys and gals, and you know, could they do better than eight? Yeah, is it the SEC? And you just don't know because it's still going to be tough. It's more of a favorable schedule this year on paper. Mike Morgan even said it yesterday. And Mike looks at all the SEC teams, works at SEC Network, and he said, "Oh, that's a lot less tough." I mean, that's true, man. I mean, you go to Baton Rouge and you play Ole Miss last season on the road. I mean, it just, there were no Oklahoma, Alabama. There were no breaks. We didn't know that going into the season, though. I'm going to remind everybody. We were sitting here going, well, it gets thick after this, but it's this and that. And nobody knew that Vanderbilt was going to be that good. Nobody knew Lenore Sellers was going to get hurt. Very few people knew that the offense would turn out like it did. But South Carolina's retooled. They've got new players. They've got returning good players that will be better. They've got new coaches. It's a new year. So whatever happens this season is on this group, not last year's group. Just like I see some things out there about the baseball search that, well, you know, last time this happened, this happened. And I'm like, yeah, but there's a new there's a new athletics administration. No matter what they do, no matter if it's similar or not, it's not really comparable to what happened last time. As far as that goes. Now, in our reality out here, yes, it is. Because in our reality, it's all the Gamecocks, right? It doesn't matter who the coach is or whatever. It just matters, and so then there's the blame game if something goes askew. I'll say this about the baseball search and closing. I don't, even if it takes a weird turn and some things change. Let's say it's not Schnall and it's not Scott Forbes and it's not Steve Saban. I don't know that they can really make a hire that's going to raise a lot of questions. I don't think any of these guys is this grand slam, but there's not that guy out there. We've said that from the beginning. I think all of them, though, are fantastic coaches, and they're all proven, some proven longer than others. But I don't, unless it takes a big turn and there's something else that happens with all this, there's a couple of guys out there that have not been mentioned that are not in the mix, to my knowledge, but that, I've researched and I'm familiar with. And if somehow the road led back to them, I'd be a little bit like, ah, oh, wait a minute, this kind of went askew. But right now, and it's about five deep. You've got Schnall, Forbes, Sabins, Holiday, and Skylar Meade would be a fifth one to keep an eye on. Now, some of those guys, I think have been stronger at times than at others. And we'll see what happens moving forward. Anyway, sign up for the BigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com, Chris Wess. Everybody will be all over the recruiting weekend. It's like I said, there's a handful of guys I've got my eye on. You guys should keep your eye on as well for the weekend. A lot of committed guys as well, but then that's kind of a warm up. Then next week you got some of the big time edge guys in, and then the 19th is going to be Wing Weekend. If you'd like to join us for the wing eating contest, go to cockyhospitality.com and RSVP. It's a free event at Cox by 18, CB18, Cox by 18, CB18 Bar and Grill down at Five Points. Can't wait to get down there for that and see everybody then. All right, this has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. I'm out. Holla.